Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute and answer your questions live on YouTube. If you want to help us out, be sure to subscribe to our channel and add us to your podcast feed over on iTunes or Google Play. And if you want to represent TFC, head over to our merch store for t-shirts, stickers, mugs, and posters. You can go to designbyhumans.com/shop/theflutechannel. Finally, if you're looking into buying a new flute, be sure to check out the Flute Center of New York at flutesforsale.com. With our code TFC at checkout, you'll be able to try up to 3 flutes or piccolos, and whichever instrument you choose, you get an extended 18-month warranty on it. So be sure at checkout to put in the special code TFC at flutesforsale.com. Now on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
How's it going, Amélie?
Very good.
Good. Yeah, so we're going to run into questions right away. Hannah Willis, she wanted to know, she just got invited to be in Marching Band and that she's super scared that she'll mess up. Any tips about getting over fright, like being scared?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I think we have to make a video about that. We made a video about stage fright, anxiety,
yeah,
stuff like that.
But it's
I
a bit old.
We have to, it's a bit redo, old. Yeah. We have to redo it. Because we have a lot of questions about that. There's a lot of anxiety that we're going to mess up and stuff like that. Okay, there's a lot to say about that. Maybe first thing is it's normal to mess up sometimes. We shouldn't make such a big deal out of it. Because we're humans and we make mistakes. But when you make a mistake while performing, it's about continuing, not stopping, you know? Pros don't highlight their mistakes. They just go on and move on. And what's past is past. Don't, oh, God, I made that mistake. You know, don't ruminate. Do you say ruminate?
No.
Don't, you know, just keep that thought in a circle in your head. It's over, you know. Now think of the next notes you're going to play, you know. But when you're preparing, it's also about preparation. Make sure you're able to play those things before performance. And if you lack self-confidence, I say it very often, you can imagine you're someone else that you admire and might give you the, you know, the push that you need. It's also about being able, it's a lot about being able to control our thoughts, our automatic thoughts that come in our head.
Yeah, exactly.
And are self-critical that I've talked about it, I think, in the last podcast, that some Buddhists call it the monkey brain.
Mm. Yeah, I remember saying that before.
You're
yeah.
not good enough, you're going to make a mistake, you're terrible. Oh, they're, and a lot of people also have the imposter syndrome. They think they're not good enough, but that the people that accepted them in the group didn't notice yet, but when they'll notice, you know, a lot of people have that imposter syndrome, and we have to be able to stop that voice and also maybe replace that voice with a constructive one. So maybe have some phrases, that some sentences, some little things that are prepared that you're gonna tell yourself. Because you can't have both voices at once, you know. So if you say to yourself, "I'm calm, I'm good, I can do this," positive things,
yeah, positive
and also
things.
Don't say things in a negative way. What I mean by that is don't say, "Don't be nervous," because your subconscious hears nervous, and then you use the words that you really want. You want to be calm, say be calm.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Even works with kids, you know. Don't this, don't that. Better to say what you want. You know,
totally.
And you have to kind of parent yourself and train your brain. But yeah, I hope this help.
Yeah.
This helps. But if people accepted you, it means
you
can do it.
You can, yeah.
And it's a learning experience. And also sometimes another thing that helps is to, how do you say that, relativize, you know, the importance of what you're doing. It's really important to you right now, but maybe take a step back and look at what it is, how important it is in your city. And then and the state and the country and the world, and then it's, you know, you're not, no one's gonna die if you make a mistake. You're
not a surgeon.
You're not, you know, just, and it's playing music.
Totally.
Like, we're supposed to have fun.
Yeah. Marching band tends to be a lot of fun, and there's, especially in that type of context, there's so much noise. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they won't pick you out.
And you're part of a group.
Yeah, you're part of a group, so. And,
you know, you make a little mistake, you'll...
Yeah.
You'll,
especially if you're in practice. If you're in a practice session, there's that's the time to make mistakes.
Exactly.
Not in performance, you're so I wouldn't stress. Learn. Yeah, you're there to learn.
And
so.
You can kind of fall back on the others, and then another time someone else is going to make a mistake and fall back on you, and you're, you know, the group. The group won't fall because you made just one little mistake.
So hopefully that answered your question. We also have a question from Sigurd. A lot of people also like the time for this because a lot of people are from Europe and different places. So they're all complimenting on the time for the podcast, which I think is great because it's only like 4 or 5 o'clock in Europe. So, but Sigurd de Mazar wants to know, there is a conservatory in their town and they're having an open master class that's free for the public. They're wondering... they've only been playing for about 8 months on the flute. Is there any value for them to go and attend the masterclass? Would it be better to spend time practicing instead? Masterclasses are only 2-3 hours long usually. I would say go and listen because you get to hear what the sound is like in your region and what people are doing. You get to have that in your ear, you know, something to progress to. Even if you don't understand the concepts that they're saying... or anything like that, you're still absorbing the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you start, you need to have a good concept of what sound you want. So listening to more advanced people is good. You'll hear repertoire as well that you might want to learn in the future. I think it's good to go and listen. And,
sit in the back and just impregnate yourself. That. Yeah. And you might meet new people that are doing the exact same thing as you. Usually you get a little bit of public in those free master classes, open master class. I remember even the public shows up. So I think anybody, I think you should definitely go. It's very educational. What else is there? There's that other question too here. We already did that one. Oh yeah, Christopher has a question about holding the flute while playing it. He says, I noticed that you, as well as other professional flutists, hold the flute at a very slight downward angle to the floor while playing. I've read somewhere, assuming the floor is level, i.e. horizontal, the flute should be held parallel to the floor when playing. Is this a correct position by convention, or is holding the flute just a matter of personal preference? And what is the most comfortable way for the player?
Okay. No one ever told me to be straight in a line with
the floor. Yeah.
Me either,
but that doesn't mean it's wrong.
It's about being straight with your body.
Yeah.
So if,
let's say, comfortable where your hands are going, because you want your hands to be in the most comfortable position as possible, too. So you want your...
It's really the angle of your head joint with your lips.
Maybe,
If your hands are lower, everything has to move together.
Yeah, I guess
it's just,
so.
You can't play like this. You can't play with your flute completely out of alignment.
But I don't think they mean like all the way down like this. I just mean very. He means very slight, like this, and then down a bit.
What I mean is, you can tilt your head.
Yeah, you
as
can.
Long as
right,
you don't
right,
change
right.
the angle of the totally. Flute with your lips.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't stress so hard on.
Me either.
Because imagine if I was thinking about keep your flute in line with the floor. Mm-hmm. Keep your flute. It would use so much of my mental energy.
Yeah, mental energy,
I don't think I would be able to play.
No. I think it's a bit... Yeah.
Like, if I play like
that's
this,
super slight.
You know, I can move like this as long as I keep...
But it's really your waist that's doing all the moving, not your body. When I look at it in the image, you're actually moving from here, like this. Nothing changes up in the arms or anything.
I try not to move my head.
Too you're much not. That's the thing.
Because
nothing is moving. When I see it there, it's very obvious. Like you're just going like this, so nothing's really changing.
But my head is a tiny bit tilted. You know, it's not perfectly straight. It's a little bit tilted.
I would analyze it. You know,
but I never really analyzed it that much.
Yeah, I wouldn't analyze
it's
that. That
very
has to be
slight. But I think it's about your position here and. being comfortable in your arms, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. That, yeah, be comfortable where you're... Those would be the two criteria,
you know?
It's whatever. Yeah. It's about comfort, because when you're at your most comfortable, you can be more efficient at your playing, I think. Mm-hmm. Sigar just wants to mention as well, and if you should attend a masterclass, this is about the masterclass mm-hmm. question just before, how should I prepare to get the best out of it?
You don't need to, if you're not playing, you don't need to prepare.
Yeah, you don't need to prepare anything, because it's the students that are playing and you're just observing. If you want, if it's allowed, you could record it, record the masterclass, just the audio, and then you can reflect back on things. Bring a notebook, write notes.
I used to go with index cards. I was a bit intense, and I would have write on one corner the title and the composer and who was giving the masterclass, mm-hmm. and then all the mm-hmm. tips they gave, and mm-hmm. then I had a little box, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and whenever I would play a piece that I remembered I heard in masterclass, I would go back and wow. that guy said this or that, hey. You know, mm-hmm. that was cool. Mm. When I was studying, I liked having that, because then I would go back to my notes, because if not, I would not really go back to my notes ever, mm-hmm. you know. Or if there was a topic, I had a section for topics like sound and you can take notes. Also, sometimes they say ahead of time what they're going to play. So maybe if you have the music, you can bring it if you feel like bringing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
it. Pen and paper. Yeah, and that does enough. Notes, yeah, exactly. Do we have the Piccolo Orchestral book?
I think so.
Could you grab it? Because somebody has a question about a Mother Goose Suite for Piccolo. Yeah, so where is this here? Tony the Sneaky Kitsune. I'm playing the piccolo, for example, the Mother Goose Suite. In some passages, the lower register doesn't want to be heard. Any advice on it? Is Mother Goose? I think Mother Goose Suite is on there. Is it Revelia?
Yeah, I think so.
Might not be in that one. No, keep going. Yeah, it's coming. There it is. Yeah, that thing. Yeah, and the low. That's all that low stuff. Yeah, that's all that low stuff there. But is that movement too?
And that's the piccolo. Am I wrong?
No, that's all piccolo. Yeah, okay, petit flute. Yeah. Is that in the second? That must be in the second movement.
Because I used to. Or third? I learned this one.
Yeah, and it goes really low. You see, it goes really low here. Yeah. So that's it. That's probably the part.
D sharp.
The D sharp and all those things.
My piccolo's just there.
Yeah, great question, because it's a really cool piece, and a lot of people,
Okay, so it's a low register. Wait.
You need a head right.
Yeah, I need that. Okay, so. I can't see my music.
I'm here.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, he's really, Ravel really, wrote something that doesn't really, like, you have to really work, like, the piccolo in that low register, he saw this color that exists, but we never really work on the low register in piccolo. We always think it's high register stuff all the time, you know?
But I think that's loud enough. It's piano.
Yeah,
anyways.
It's loud enough. Yeah, it's pianissimo. It's, piano. It's almost by itself, too, I think, in that whole section.
There's not much going on there, and it's... Maybe don't try to do that staccato too short, because you won't even have time to make it
come out. So not doing it too short,
know?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Maybe not too short, that staccato. Just separated from the next note, but not extra short. Also, make it, like, open the back of your mouth and really blow warm air. It's like, you know.
Yeah, that is the one. That's the exact part.
Like,
yeah.
Like Dark Vader, you know? It's really open in the back, and then maybe practice going little octave, so you can go directly on the low note from a higher note.
Mm-hmm. So,
and also, it's not about pushing in the low register. It's about letting it resonate. And I tend to feel the support go lower.
Mm-hmm.
I go, ta-da-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-dum, ba-da-da-dee-da-dee-dum, ba-da-da-dee-da-dee-dum, mm-hmm. You know? Because sometimes when we push, we try to push it out, we just make it crack. It's
mm-hmm.
Just letting it resonate
yeah.
is going to make it easier.
So hopefully that helps, yeah.
Should try it and tell
us if it helps. Try it and let us know. So, yeah. Matthew Petit, or... Petit.
maybe?
Yeah, but two T's in the middle and then a T at the end. Anyways, I'm a new flute player and I'm able to produce a very decent tone. I'm concerned with the amount of air that I hear around the head joint. How much should I hear? I play on a Gemeinhardt 2SP. Also, this may be related. I was an opera performance major in college and find it that my tone dramatically improves when I think about allowing vibrato. Should I be concerned about this?
No, I don't think so either. Vibrato doesn't make the flute sound better,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think so. It adds a... It depends where you put it, like where it comes from. Yeah.
But
it's not on... You don't do it on every note, I think.
Because it helps you feel more expressive, then it makes you feel a bit more relaxed, because you can express yourself, and then everything comes out better, I guess.
And being concerned about the amount of air that you hear around the head joint? Well, air around the head joint... So, like, air in the sound, I guess, because there's only two places that the sound comes out of, and they both are, I can't quantify it that much, but a lot of sound comes right directly out of your head joint when you blow into it. Also, the sound of the flute comes out of that as well, and on the end of it as well, so maybe you're hearing, I don't know.
He says there's air in his sound.
Yeah, there's air in his sound.
And he would like his sound to be less airy.
Airy, yeah.
We have a good video about that.
Yeah.
How to...
Get rid of the air in your sound, yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just like your basic premises in that video.
First, it's about focusing, you know, the airstream in a V-shape inwards, not outwards. So the air goes in one spot on the embouchure plate.
Yeah.
That helps. Then...
I think there are several good spots inside where you can blow. But like starting inside, then moving around, I guess.
Yeah, but what I mean is not necessarily there's only one spot.
Ah, yeah.
But I mean,
right.
You have to be able to send it in the spot you chose. You
right.
Know? You know?
Yeah, direct. Like it's like almost like a shooting range. You want to shoot it exactly at the target you want to get to inside the head joint.
Wait, it's not that precise, but it's still like you don't want
it. You can
to
feel
go
it,
everywhere.
But the thing is, you can feel it where you can.
Yeah.
That's the thing with the flute. You can feel where the air is going to. You know, you
and
can feel it with the back press plate.
Less air, and then it's going to be less airy, because if it's, you know,
exactly.
You get air. Because there's going to be air outside of your flute,
For sure, because that's what the flute does. That's how it's made, you know? There's always going to be a loss of energy. Like, we're never using all of our energy.
No.
We're losing so, not a lot, but we're losing a bunch, you know?
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
But in that video, I talk about singing in your flute. I talk about...
Yeah.
Harmonics.
Yep, harmonics. And singing in the flute, too, I think.
Yes.
I get a lot of comments from...
Very,
yeah.
Very efficient, so lot, I'll just demonstrate it quickly.
Yeah, a lot of teachers have been saying, like, they take that tip.
So it doesn't sound good while you do it, but what it does is that it puts your body in the same note. You know, your larynx and everything is in the same spot to sing the note, and you're a singer, so it's amazing, because the flute and the voice, they're linked.
Mm-hmm.
And your body resonates on the same note.
Yeah.
So it gets you get a better sound.
You develop associations.
Because I feel it. And even when I was a teenager and I started playing, I used to tell my teacher, I love the flute because it's as if I was singing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt, it's as if I was singing, but that's just like a microphone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than my voice, and I just go, but I guess I was doing that without knowing.
Yeah.
I was changing my throat in accordance to the notes I was playing. You know?
You're developing mechanisms inside your throat, mechanisms, I would say muscles and all those things,
yeah.
Because that you're making that bridge between the flute and that, because when you sing, your body automatically does it. Mm-hmm. But when you're just blowing and not making vocal noises, nothing's happening. It's just a tube blowing air out. But when you start making those types of singing in the flute, you start bridging this association that when you're now playing, when you're now blowing through, you have to do this like as you would sing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do that and necessarily.
If he was a singer, like, not if, like, yeah, he says that he is, I'm not doubting that. Yeah. But that's a very good thing, because mm-hmm. a lot of even great flute teachers ask their students to learn,
totally.
To take singing lessons, yeah. because it's the technique is so close.
Yeah. So hopefully that answers some of your question. If you have more, just let us know in this comment or in other comments on other videos. Especially that video we just mentioned, how to get rid of air in the flute. How to get rid of the sound.
No, the air in your sound.
Sound. Yeah, in your flute. Ellie's Lely asks a question. Now I am playing pieces and studies more difficult than before, such as Mozart's Rondo, Kohler's Opus 33 number 2. My teacher has told me to buy a silver flute as soon as possible. Do you think I need it? Have you got any suggestions of an affordable silver flute, preferably with a B foot, that could be obtained in Europe? Yes. You can get a silver flute in Europe. I know, I think Alfred or something just had a big convention. It's the biggest flute convention. I think it's called the European Flute Convention. If you type the European Flute Convention in Facebook or on YouTube, you can find a lot of dealers. And I think Alfred or something like that is pretty much that... you can get them. I think it's called Alfred Music, but if you type European Flute Convention, just happened. It was, I think today's the last day. Don't go there. It's in the Netherlands. If you're in the Netherlands, that's perfect. But if not, there's a lot of flute companies that you can buy silver flutes. Cheap, good silver flutes. There's a lot. There's at least, between like silver flutes, there's some good ones that are partially silver and all that stuff. I don't think it really matters if it's made of silver or gold or anything like that for a young person or for a person who's just learning, I guess.
But isn't it more about how it's been
built?
Made,
yeah, it's about how it's been built.
Than the material.
Yes, that's true.
Because we tried flutes a few months ago. Yeah. Some of them were not even in silver. Yeah. And they sounded amazing.
Yeah.
What was it made out of? It was an alloy?
Alloy, yeah.
Alloy, like... The head joint was silver, I think, and the body was an alloy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded great.
It's mostly always alloys if they're cheap, like, but they're made well. So, because the procedure of how they make them, I've played flutes that are made out of copper and brass, but was made very well and sounded just as good as
Is
anything
it more
else.
Heavy?
No, it's a little heavier. Yeah, yeah. But there's also. What is the other? Yeah, it's really about how it's made. Material, that's a secondary thing, personally, I think. Because there are then different ways they have to make that instrument with that. So if you have to make a flute out of gold, it's not necessarily the same way you would have to make a silver flute, because there's different tendencies, different type of techniques you have to do to make it sound its way.
And sometimes a head joint, if the mechanism is good quality.
Oh, yeah.
Just the head joint might change a
yeah,
whole
totally.
Deal.
It could.
You know?
Yeah, it could. It could. It could.
You need
yeah.
a good mechanism and a good head yeah. joint in yeah. a way. You know.
Totally. You need a good mechanism. Good. Yep. And a flute could sound good at the beginning, but out of the shop, but maybe it wasn't made well. So after a couple of months, you have to go and bring it for repairs, or whatever. And so a really well-made flute, I always find, lasts a little bit longer before you have to bring it to a repair mm-hmm. technician. But there's been handmade flutes made out of nickel silver, you know.
And I'm sure you can even find used flutes for a good
find,
price
yeah.
that are in good condition.
But with used flutes, I would always encourage to try them before you buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Or any flute, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So in terms of silver flutes, like your teacher saying you have to have one in order to play this piece, that's a bit... It depends. I wouldn't say that personally, because I think if your flute's doing its job,
it really depends if your flute is like I have a student whose flute had problems. Like it wasn't I'm looking for my word yeah. here. Can you help me, please? I'm making signs. It wasn't
mechanism. Wasn't the keys weren't aligned.
Yes, but also there were air leaks and stuff
like
that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So she was working very hard for very bad results, and she changed her flute, and her sound's better. Everything's better.
Mm-hmm.
It did help a lot. It depends if...
Yeah. I would bring your flute in. Personally, I would bring your flute in for adjustment, like to fix all the leaks and everything. First, see how it sounds, play through stuff.
But you don't want to overspend on that either.
But that's not overspending. Like, no, just getting your fixed, clean oil adjusted is not very expensive, you know?
Sometimes if your flute is very bad quality, why would you even spend money repairing it, you know? It all depends.
But I've seen people with, like, Yamahas,
my student, when
you know?
She went to the repair, the lady said, don't put money on that.
Oh, yeah, if a repair person says that, obviously, at that point. But, I mean,
I'd rather buy another one. Yeah. Then put money on that flute. There's so much to be repaired.
Totally.
You're going to spend more on repairing it.
But I know people who
usually
play, yeah.
A good technician could.
But I've known people who have like Yamaha 222s or 333s and play in orchestras and all those things, and they pay to get it repaired, and the repair costs more than their flute, but they still love their flute. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to, you know. And in fact, the more expensive a flute is, the more the repairs cost.
Yeah.
You know? So.
We did a blind test of flutes at different prices, and
exactly.
Really what I got from it is if your flute has a good mechanism and blocking well,
mm-hmm.
And
the mechanism is to your feel, to your way that you usually normally play
because like you like your mechanism a little bit
totally
tough, you know,
tough,
and I like it more soft.
Yeah,
it's all a question of taste.
So yeah, I would
and
definitely
a good
check.
Technician can adjust that for you as well.
Exactly.
Can you make it a little bit more soft, or can you make it a little bit more bouncy?
Exactly. So if you have to get one, I would say Yamaha Dizao. You know, Powell makes a Sonari brand. The next flute that you would buy would probably be the flute that you're going to probably have forever, unless you're going to the most professional level. Like, you know, then
there's
maybe.
There's a lot of good
intermediate flutes.
Yay.
We have a lot of, you can check the playlist of our videos. We did a whole series with the New York Flute Center, or the Flute Center of New York, on a bunch of instruments, all of different ranges and prices. You can check the playlists on our playlist tab. So hopefully that answers your question. Next question is Tarsius. What is your opinion about learning two instruments at the same time? Learn as many as you can is what I say. That's awesome if you can do it. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I think one helps the other.
Yep,
what you
totally.
Learn with one teacher, you'll reuse in another instrument. Personally, I've learned flute and piano at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
I think there was nothing wrong with that. You know,
yeah.
I was... So
yeah, so hopefully that answers your question. That's our general opinion. Yeah,
it's just, you know, it also depends on your goals. If you really want to push in one instrument. Like at one point I had to make a choice because both my teachers were saying you have to practice 3 hours a day and there's only so many hours in one day. But now when I look back, I don't know, I think maybe I could have practiced 2 hours a day of each and still be able to make it. But yeah, it depends. Do you want to be good at a lot of instruments or excellent at one, or
exactly.
What are your goals?
What
if you
want to
be a composer and know a lot of different instruments so you can know how to compose for them, you know what's easy, what's difficult, you know the tendencies, you know.
Exactly.
It's all about what you want from life.
Lisa Lovely wants to know what to practice first. When first starting, especially to help play fluently without music in front of you, what scales or are there any good workbooks?
Without music in front of you, meaning you
like
learn
scale,
the piece by heart, or just
scales? No, this is like when you first start out. When you first start out, I guess that's what it means. When first starting, so it's like the beginning of, you just have a flute in your hands. You didn't do anything else. You didn't go and buy music. You just have a flute in your hands, I suppose. Like, I would look up sheet music, or I would look up scales and stuff. Like, try to learn a scale, try to learn the notes.
Well, if you
try to learn
just
the
got
notes.
Your flute, you need to learn your fingerings.
You need to learn your fingerings. That's what I mean, like scales, the fingering chart. Get a fingering chart as fast as you can.
we really have to finish that book, because that's... That will be pretty complete. You have fingerings, you have reading music, reading rhythms, notes, and...
Yeah.
You have to start with a few notes... And be able to go from one to the other. Because what's difficult is transitioning from one to the other.
Mm.
So you practice that, and then you get more notes, and you can start making patterns and scales and things like that. But I would encourage, learning your fingerings and learning how to go from one to the other.
Right. She also wants to know, can you play a low C so she can gauge how loud it can be? She thinks it's a silly question, but it's not a silly question. Yeah. That's pretty loud. I'm right next to it and it's pretty full and loud. Yeah.
It's like the other
Yeah, it's
notes.
like the other notes. Yeah.
But as I said before, for the piccolo, if you try to get
Oh,
it
yeah.
out
It's
by
just gonna.
force, just let it resonate, you know?
Mark Howard has a great question. My head joint is fully inserted, but I still play slightly flat. What options do I have to get back on pitch?
Maybe the cork is not in the right spot.
Yeah,
Is
cork
it
could be shrunk.
possible?
Cork could be shrunk, and so it moves up. But it can only change between, I think it can only change between like between 3 and 10, 3 and 10 not hertz or whatever, but cents,
Okay.
3 to 10 cents, which is a lot, I guess. But
Also, maybe you're not supporting enough.
yeah, that
Maybe you're
too.
covering too much the hole.
Yeah.
Maybe also that specific flute is a bit low,
Yeah.
and a good technician could
Yeah.
cut it slightly so you can put it
Yeah.
in more.
Exactly. If you have a flute rod, the rod that comes with the flute in your case, it should have a line on the other side. That's a line on the bottom of the post of the flute rod. I don't have one with me, but
I have one.
and then you put that in your head joint slightly. And
Well,
yeah,
but
this
all
one's
the
really
way
good.
in,
Yeah, but
you don't
you have to be.
push, you know? You
But
just
if it's a
move.
metal, some people have metal rods, and if you just go willy-nilly, you're scratching inside the flute.
No,
So just go nice and
I'll
slow.
show
And
it.
then there's a line here. I don't know if you can see that, but there's a line. There's
There's
three
three
lines there, but
lines.
you want it the center line. I
Yeah.
don't know why they did it that way.
It
But
depends on the.
and it's very gonna be very there's
So.
several videos about that. Just go like this. Let's go like that. There you go. Now you can see it. Go like this until you see it in the hole, and then until you see it touch the head joint or the end of the
Yeah.
flute. Then you look up and you see whether or not that center line, the one that's in the middle, or if there's only one line, make sure it's in the center of the lip plate, in the center of the hole of the lip plate. If it's centered, then that's good. If it's not, you should get it re checked, or just if it's in if it's this way, you could screw this just a little bit, and it'll actually push the head joint up this way, or go and take it to a technician. There's a video I have that's on the channel that talks about it more, about how you can change it by yourself,
Oops,
but I don't want to do
sorry.
that here because I don't want to. That's why I made a video about it.
Yeah, and also if you play, we made two videos about playing in tune, I think, but you know, if you have a tendency to play like this and you're covering the hole, you can see that, you can hear that when I play more, when I cover the hole
Yeah.
more, it goes down. So maybe it's about the angle here that you have. And if you uncover the hole more, you
Right.
will also get more projection
Yeah. At
at the same time.
the
So
same time.
maybe you should check that.
Yeah. So hopefully that answers your question. Also use a tuner, check to see what are its tendencies between on the whole entire range of the flute.
Maybe it would be interesting to try someone else's flute to see if it's a
Yeah.
flute or if it's your way of playing.
Great idea, yeah. Flavia Rodriguez says, I've been checking flute prices, and as long as I've understood it right, the ones with B foots are far more expensive than the C ones. Is that right? Why is it so? It depends. Like some flutes, I've seen prices for a B foot, between a C foot and a B foot, be between $300 and $800 because it's just the foot. And you can buy both. You can buy
But
both pieces. But I mean, it's just this much extra material,
maybe
you
it's
know?
because also you will have more beginner flutes with a C foot,
And it's
and
cheaper to make. It's, yeah,
when you
yeah.
get to a higher level of flute, they will put the B foot. Like maybe
Yeah,
it's not the B foot itself, but it's the type of models,
it's also the type of models as well. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, totally. It could be professional, more professional. I don't think it's, yeah, it doesn't really mean necessarily that because there's a B foot, it's supposed to be more.
That much
It's,
more
yeah, because
expensive.
I've seen professional flutes with C foots, and they're as expensive as the B foots, you know,
So
like,
maybe it's the models
yeah, it's
that.
the models maybe
Yeah.
that you're probably associating with. Let's see. Oh my gosh, so many questions. Oh my gosh. Okay. How do you play high notes quietly? Yeah, how do you play high notes quietly?
That's a tough one. Can I today? That's the question. Uh-huh. Well.
Uh-huh.
Well, to play quietly, you have to put less air.
Uh-huh.
But then if you put less air, you also have to reduce the hole, make the hole smaller with your lips.
And you also want to project, and there's also the problem of projection too, maybe that's, yeah.
I tend to visualize that when I want to play very softly in the high register, I visualize as if the air was not coming out, but going in and coming out from my head. Okay, I know it's not how it's being done, but that's how I visualize it, so. I think it helps me put less air and let it resonate in my head. So that's how I do it. Mm-hmm. How do you do it?
Mm. Yeah, pretty much like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So small, very little air, and a lot of... You always have to support the air, though. Like, don't think... Because if you don't support, it's going to not come out or crack. Or it's all about the support, but you don't need that much air. You just need a lot of support and airspeed. You need to keep the airspeed, but with very little air. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess that's the difficulty in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy maybe to push a lot of air fast, but push a little bit of air fast might be more difficult. Because that's why I visualize it going up. I don't know. It's like... goes out of my head.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, hopefully that answers your question. Why do foot joints seem to be more difficult to put on than head joints? Do you ever lube these parts? No, I wouldn't lube any of those parts. Don't put any lube on metal.
No.
Don't do that. Not good.
It's very bad.
Bring it to a technician, they'll make it fit.
But
they have tools for that.
Sometimes, yeah, if it's very difficult, but sometimes you can just take your little cloth to clean your flute.
Yeah, there could be some stuff on it.
I used to have a flute that, and I would just rub it a little bit.
A bit of tarnish,
both of them, and then it would slide perfectly fine.
A lot of people have used plumber's tape and stuff like that, but I would just say try to take it to a technician if they're able to stretch the metal enough, because metal has a certain tolerance. You can't do it. You can't stretch it too much, or it's gonna be too thin, and it'll snap, or a break. I mean,
I used to just use a tarnish cloth, you know, and
yeah. If there's tarnish, if there's black stuff on it, you can clean that easily. But there's really it gets to the point that sometimes it just starts not fitting. So you should take it to a technician, and they have the tools for it, and it's very small fix, very small. Doesn't cost a lot. I'm looking to buy an intermediate flute. Which brands? This is Munderscore. I'm looking to buy an intermediate flute. What brands would you say are good? Yamaha, Dizao, Palsonare. What are the other ones that we've tried? Haynes. There's some Haynes ones that are very... Haynes Amadeus. Those are really good. Those are good too. I mean,
yeah.
Palsonaris are very good. Yamahas are very good, like between models of 300 and 600, even 700 sometimes. yeah, there's a lot. I would, like we say all the time, just try as many as you can in your budget, then see which one feels good to you initially. I follow my gut feeling sometimes, and then usually you can try those. You can take the ones that you like. At some music shops, they let you try it for like a week.
Yeah.
And then you can bring it back with no obligation. And I know in the United States, places like the Flute Center in New York does that. There's also places in other parts of the world. It's good to ask them questions in those music shops. They usually have some type of agreements for those types of things. So yeah, those are the ones that are like good intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
But those things can last forever. When you think intermediate, you think it's just another step to professional. Well, for some people, it's actually just the flute that they're going to have forever, which is actually really quite fine because it's all built very, very well, and you can do a lot of things with it.
You can play everything on it.
Yeah, you can play everything.
As long as if it, as the mechanism is in good shape. Yeah.
You can still play Carl Gellert's hardest etudes on a student flute, you know? Yeah. okay. Let's see. Forget about the likely adjustment and lack of the pitch. When should I buy a new flute? When you think that your flute is holding you back, I guess, you know? Usually the biggest transition for all flutists is usually from a student flute that's really a student flute. Like either there's no, all the holes are covered, you know, the standard one. Then you want to move up to open hole or even non-open hole, professional or intermediate flutes too.
But I think the first answer is really when you feel your flute is holding you back and you're fighting with your flute, and it shouldn't be a fight.
And it's well maintained and everything. Like, say everything's well maintained, everything's fine, no leaks, but it's still, you know, then it's time. That's the time. You usually can feel
it. Or if it's unrepairable or repairable, but would be so expensive, those types of things.
Can you go over how to clean in between the tight areas of the flute? If you mean the tight areas between, like, posts and stuff like that, like, between here, like, inside where the posts are and stuff, I would not advise doing that.
I used to take a Q-tip and...
Q-tips are very bad.
Yeah, because now you little, told me not to do that. Because
those little hairs go inside and between the mechanisms, inside the rod post, and then cause micro abrasions inside and can cause huge problems in the end.
So
and
sometimes
can cause...
we overdo things.
Yep.
Just let it be, you know?
Yeah. If there's dust and stuff gathering around those things, and it's like, I'm a victim of that as well. Like, I leave it, but then I bring it to a technician, and they clean it, they wash it, they take it all apart.
They even clean your case to make sure there's no dust.
Yeah.
Probably for that.
Yeah, probably for that as well, too. They vacuum out the case.
Yeah, they vacuum your case.
You know, all those types of things.
Like
so,
a new car.
Yeah. So, tight areas, I would really get away from those, not do anything. Like I said, if you watch our video about... how flutes are repaired, they really do it the way it's only supposed to be done. Taking it all apart, washing it, ultrasonic, baths and all those things. Using a Q-tip and all those types of things like that, or whatever people do to get little things here and there. Because there are points on the flute that do gather dust. It's funny, like there's like the mechanisms right in the middle where there's G, where the G key is. Where the G key is and the A flat key, all those little posts and stuff in there, those are all dust traps for like a lot of crazy like little micro dust and also black tarnish and all those things. I would not advise going in there and doing that unless you've been trained to do those types of things. But even repair people don't hand buff the flute, you know. It's all done through baths and stuff like that. And hopefully that answers your question. If you guys have any other questions, please be sure to let us know in the comments. I think we ran through the whole entire comment section pretty fast. There was a lot of questions, but I mean, we got through a lot of them. If we missed your question, please re-repeat them in the bottom, in the chat, and we'll be able to, Like somebody else said, how do you clean between the rods and the springs and rods? You don't. You just don't. Because it's really a lot of fragile stuff there, and... there's little, you don't see it on the flute, but there's little micro, there are little tiny slits between certain mechanisms that, no matter how tight they are, there's still ways to get in there, little pieces of hairs, little pieces of all those things. If you use something like a Q-tip or a cloth, it all goes in there and causes huge problems.
So you make it worse by wanting to make it better.
Yeah.
You know, you work hard to make things worse.
There are oil points, and I was always reluctant to make a video about it because there's a lot of, hearsay about that, but there is... couple places where you can buy actual, you know, oil that is for the flute, for the mechanisms, that you can pinpoint where these places are so you can keep the mechanism flowing. But it's really an advanced thing and something I don't advise for most people, because it's really unless you've been trained, you can do it, but I mean, take it to a technician. They can do that stuff, clean oil and adjust, you know. I've never seen prices more than $400-$500, you know, in general places for like professional flutes. If you're giving a student flute, it costs even less, because it's way easier to put back into playability. Because the more advanced a flute is, the more finicky it is, the more professional model of flute is. It's actually very, very... They're dealing
complex
with... It's complex, and they deal with even more precise measurements than, let's say...
So it takes more time.
Oh, yeah, then it takes a lot more time. For, yeah, so it's really
it's
quite
when,
something.
It's like when you take a car that's...
Yeah.
You know, more special, and then they don't have the parts at the garage, and everything's more expensive.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know about what to do on a flute, bring it to a technician. They'll be happy to just say things to you. They
sometimes
talk to you. They
you
do free estimates.
Sometimes you might think you're gonna save money by doing it yourself, but if you make, you know, you might also spend a lot repairing your mistakes in the end. So
yeah,
it's better to.
Some people ask about jewelry cleaner and spritz it. Like I said, I wouldn't spritz the flute. I know in high school and in band, we used to have the pink spray that would disinfect things and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't spray anything on the flute, any liquid on the flute where the pads are is a big no-no, because then those pads will inflate or get damaged and then can get sticky and then, you know, the only thing
I
would say is
a
sticky
flute,
bit. Yeah,
maybe,
if you share
yes,
flutes,
on the,
yeah,
on the plate,
exactly.
But not anywhere else.
Yeah, no liquid at all near the flute. In fact, try to get liquid out as fast as possible in the flute.
And also, don't drink anything sweet before you play.
Yeah, don't drink orange juice. Don't drink any of those things. I knew a friend of mine that had literally a solo piano concert, a flute and piano concert, and he drank a full glass of orange juice before the show, and all of his pads began to stick halfway through and had to get a spare flute from one of the people in the hall.
And then what happened to his flute?
Like, he had to get repaired because it was so sticky. Some of the pads ripped. So it was like, no, big no-no. Always try to rinse your mouth if you can too before you do it. But remember, it's in your body and you're breathing out sticky molecules that are going into your thing. So you'd rather not have something, you know, sweet or like, you know, those power drinks and all those types of things like that. I know that's really in right now. And,
but at least rinse your
mouth. Yeah, water. Yeah,
yeah,
rinse your mouth and, yeah, with water. Don't
just
rinse your
water,
mouth. Yeah, don't rinse your out with the acid, you know, like with the...
No, no.
Because that's
just
even
water.
Worse for your pads. I need to breathe a lot. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I need to breathe a lot during playing. How do I organize my breathing better? Sorry if this question doesn't make sense. It makes sense.
It makes sense.
It makes perfectly good sense.
Well, you have to find good spots in the music, in
totally.
The phrase. Usually don't... Well, it's usually, but sometimes in between bars, like where the bar line is a good spot, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time, a phrase will end on the first beat of a bar, so you should breathe just after that first note of the bar where the phrase ended, and then write down those.
Oh yeah, make notes.
Those
yeah,
breathing marks. Sometimes also people don't take enough time to breathe in, and then they have to breathe in all the time.
Yep.
So, take your time, and you might think that breathing fast is faster, but it's not. If you try to breathe in very fast, you're gonna close
That's
your
true.
Throat, and then not much air comes in. But if you think in a accelerando type of way to breathe in that's slow, fast, like
right.
Then you can put a lot of air in because your throat is open and you go. And
right.
In the beginning, the air doesn't go that fast, but it goes fast just after.
Just
so
after,
in reality, it takes a little bit less time or just the same amount of time as when I try to go fast, but then I can blow way longer. And also, it's about being efficient with your air, not losing too much.
Totally.
Sometimes even people, when they play piano for a couple of notes and then they start playing loud again. If you play piano, it takes less air. And if it's a long phrase that's piano, just play piano. It might help. And once you've decided where you breathe, try to be disciplined about it and practice to be able to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you have to figure out how much to breathe in, how much to blow out. It's all about, it's like economy. You have
totally.
To do with how much money you have. You have to do with how much air you have. And
exactly.
How can I get more and how can I lose less?
Mm-hmm.
It's all, yeah.
So hopefully it answers your question. Flavia Rodriguez, he asked a question before. He has a Selmer special with silver head joint, but he has music that demands a low B all the time. I think he was talking about the B thing with the low B and... low B and low C flutes.
Yeah.
I would really check, especially because it's a Selmer flute. Go on eBay and find another copy of your flute or find a B-foot for that flute. It's usually super cheap, probably even cheaper than you could imagine. Probably maybe even $50 to $100, and buy that and then use that to eBay's your best friend for a lot of those things right now, because a lot of people are just like just
then you might getting rid need of a case for your
yeah they might need a case but a case is also we can also modify your case too as well.
That's cool.
So yeah, do that. Check eBay. You would be very surprised to find it. You might be able to find it, or check your shops, because you never know, they might have used flutes. Do you know any books that have good flute solos to play? Flute solos.
Isn't it pieces?
Pieces, I guess.
Depends on your level.
Yeah, it depends on your level. But there's a lot of books.
There's a lot of books. Yeah. It's just, it really depends on your level.
Yeah. I have a hard time doing the double tonguing for Maya. You played Maya, huh? With the Alexa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
There's double tonguing stuff in there? Yeah, there is.
There is a lot. Oh, it's fast, and also...
Yeah, it's fast. Fast.
It's not double tonguing, that's ta-ka-ta-ka-ta-ka-ta.
No, it's more
da-ga, 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 da-ga.
It's a lot of guh.
So, if you try... I don't remember, but let's see. No, yeah, it's not that,
but... No, but it's not that bad.
When you do... Let's say I do taka, you'll hear... You know, I get more stuck, and it's kind of disturbing the airstream. Daga, it's good, and it's closer in your mouth. So taka, you know, it's very front and very back, and then daga, you bring it more in the middle. So daga 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 daga. It's almost like dag 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 dag, you know. Daga 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 daga. And you can practice it backwards in the beginning. You do kata kata ka or gada gada ga. And then when you're used to playing it backwards, the kata kata, you go taka taka, and it's going to be faster. And also, you can practice your double tonguing anywhere. You can practice it like while you're doing the dishes or waiting for the bus. Taka 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 taka. Or just. I know it looks weird, so maybe you don't want to do it in front of people, but you know, while you're doing things, you don't always need your flute, because that's just a tongue thing that you'll get used to. But then you have to make it fit with the fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Practice it slowly, backwards, and then the normal way, and then increase. But sometimes go back to slowly, because slowness brings you control.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you only play fast, and sometimes your fingers or tongue or things are not together anymore, bring it back slowly. Then you'll get control over what you're doing again. I guess that's it for today.
I guess that's it for today. Just two more things was, do you know that piece, Serenade in Pietri, from the Suzuki Flute School Volume 3, number 4?
No.
Serenade a Pietri? Is that Gounod? Is that Gould or Gounod or something?
I don't know the piece.
I don't know the piece either. There's probably, she says there's double tonguing. Yeah, we'll check it out. For
where
sure.
There's double tonguing?
Yeah, it's having a hard time. Like I said, yeah, practicing the double. Yeah, we don't know what type of double tonguing it is.
We have a video about double tonguing.
Yeah, we do.
We should look at it.
It helps a little bit. And ask a question there, and then we can evolve more on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then...
like, maybe look at it. If you have sub-questions, we can discuss them in the next podcast.
Yeah, next podcast, for sure. Also, yeah, then Lisa just says here, $30 basic cleaning for adjustment. That's a good fee for adjustment fee, $30 to adjust your flute. That's pretty good, because usually that's they put where the screws are supposed to be. They set the screws and
that's
everything.
Good.
Everything's that's an okay fee. It's not too bad. So yeah, hopefully that was. hopefully that.
Maybe we should tell people about the flute festival this summer. Maybe some people.
Yeah, so you know, we're gonna close everything off, but we also have the Montreal Flute Festival is going to be happening August 15th, 16th, and 17th in Montreal. We run it. We organize it. If you guys are interested in coming into Montreal for the summer for a couple days in August and learn with Emily and learn with Alexa, it's all day long master classes and classes. And we also are going to do a concert on the end on Friday. You can also try out a lot of flutes.
And we hang out.
And we hang out in between the shows and after the classes. We hang out and go have lunch and dinner with everybody. It's a nice, cool community. It's really great. This is the third year that we've been doing it.
And there's different levels. People more advanced, less advanced. Some people just want to listen. Some people want to play.
Yeah.
We respect that.
Yeah.
Some people last year said, I don't want to play. And then they realized it was very relaxing.
Yeah,
and
super
they
relaxing.
They wanted to play after.
All levels. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and Alexa still, she's an amazing flutist and professor. So she does the afternoon master classes. And
totally. Yeah,
I think it's a good experience. It's fun, and Montreal is a nice city.
It's a beautiful city. It's in the city. It's really nice. We try to blend in the class-like thing with the metropolitan, you know, going and seeing the city and enjoying the culture that is here. And you can check that out at the MontrealFluteFestival.com. Also, if you guys haven't checked out our Patreon, that really helps us out to make more videos. Right now, we're at a one video a week schedule right now because of time, and we're just really busy. But if you help us out on Patreon, that can really help us get more time in terms of funding us so that we can do more videos, also make really good content for you guys. So if you guys want to check out patreon.com/theflutechannel, you can go there and pay as little as $12 a year. And that helps us tremendously through that medium, which is really great. And then also, there will be a meetup for me. Well, not a meetup, but I will be in New York Wednesday to Friday this week for Powell's 18 karat gold release of their flute. So if you're in the New York area, be sure to check out the community tab and on the YouTube page, and let me know if you're gonna be around. I will try to maybe do a little quick late night, like evening meetup in Manhattan. If you're a New York flutist, we can definitely go and hang out and talk about flute and all that crazy stuff.
That's
and
so cool.
Yeah, that's what I'll be there doing some content for the channel.
Yeah,
and
I won't
working
be
with
there.
Them. Yeah, Emily won't be there. It will just be me, but that will be that. So there's nothing else, I don't think. Just Patreon and the Montreal Flute Festival. And if you have any questions or comments, if you're watching this not live, be sure to leave comments down in the true comments, in the comment section box. Yeah. And be sure to like the video if you haven't liked it, if you're watching it live, or if you're not watching it live, be sure to hit the like button. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please hit subscribe. And also go and, if you are podcast fans, go and also subscribe to the podcast as well through iTunes or through Google Play. So yeah, thanks everybody. This was a great podcast. I hope to talk to you guys later. And this is Nick.
And I'm Eddie.
And we will talk to you guys next time. See ya.
Bye. See ya.